What's going on, everybody? We are back, and Kevin is not ready. This is episode 272 of the Dark Windows podcast. My name is Kevin, and I am ready.
I'm Kevin, and I was looking at a backpack, and
you're going to hear a little, oh, shit, like in the music, because he was trying to get his microphone over in front of himself.
I was looking at things. I didn't have my microphone, you know, swivel in the right position, and I just swivel it over.
These things happen.
It's just how it goes sometimes, you know.
So we got to bring something up. And we're talking about before we
got, Jesus
before
Christ.
We got on to record. Watching TV and an ad for that Hims company comes on, and they start talking about getting boner pills and stuff. And I explained to him, basically, from what I've gathered, this company, you can just like talk to somebody on, you know, like online, and they can be like, oh yeah, here's some Viagra and shit. And Kevin informed me that he's pretty sure that you have to go in and let a doctor touch your dick before you can get Viagra. I'm like, I'm pretty confident that they're not going to like go in there and start tugging on your pecker to see if you need Viagra or not. Why aren't you getting hard for me? You can't get hard for a guy? Yeah, you probably need Viagra.
Is that the fucking rain?
I can't tell if it's raining or winding. Both.
I think it's rain.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
There's definitely some heavy wind out there. We have a wind advisory until tomorrow morning, so.
Yeah.
But I'm keeping up with that on my radio that
I got. Your radio? Yes.
I think I finally figured out how to get it to work, so.
Nice.
I'm not sure. Just gotta dick around with it a bit more, but.
I'll be waiting, for all the shit talk coming.
Because yeah,
I know there's going to be a lot of it.
It's going to be fun.
Whatever.
Just
fuck it.
Who understand cares? That it's coming from a place of love and it's people just having fun. You know?
No, because they just love giving me shit.
Everybody does because you're fun to give shit to.
Because I just don't really give two sweet shits.
That's the problem, is you got to play along with it. It's way more fun that way. Like when Ben's like, oh, you Americans, you guys. You know, school shootings and blah. Like, well, at least we don't cook like we're still under the fucking Blitz. So, you know, you just got to give it back. It's fun.
Maybe they do.
They do. Like, have you seen what the shit they cook? And they try to, this dude I follow on Instagram trying to pass off fucking beans on toast on us. Oh, it was an American thing. Bitch, was it?
I don't think it was.
Was it? Like, you guys over there, like, just.
I don't know why you put beans on toast anyway. So
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's weird.
It is weird. Like, you guys are, like, fucking dipping bread and water for flavor or whatever. What the fuck you guys do? Mushy peas on shit, like.
Oh, my dad does that.
You're basically, it's pea soup, then you're putting it on toast.
My dad does that.
I don't get it.
He calls it poor man's breakfast or something, or dessert or something like that.
I don't know, man.
Taking a piece of bread and then fucking putting your peas and liquid over top.
I mean, I've definitely had welfare cereal where you just smash up a bunch of saltine crackers and put milk in it. That's not bad, though. That's pretty good.
My dad likes that, too.
If you're like, you just got paid, but you're still trying to save money, you do Ritz instead.
Mm.
A little buttery. Oh, yeah.
Wow. You're you're going all out.
Yeah.
Ritz versus saltine.
Sometimes I've eaten like I don't have money before because I've eaten like I don't have money before. Because
Ritz versus saltines, that's fucking. That's,
well, I mean,
that's
it's the difference between, you know, I have a little like salty treat kind of deal with the saltines and the milk is a good flavor, but then you get like the milky shit from like the buttery shit from the Ritz.
I mean, you're fucking stepping it up and going to Ritz. Wow,
you can't do club crackers. They're good. You don't do them in milk because they're boring and no flavor. You got to eat those with cheese. Mm-hmm. Pepperoni.
Uh-huh.
But,
or townhouse crackers, you know.
See, townhouse are a different story. Because if I'm getting townhouse, I'm getting townhouse flips.
Oh.
With a cracker on one side, pretzel on the other.
Yeah.
That's my shit. I'll keep a box of those in my truck to snack on.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's a fact.
But I've been pretty good avoiding. So I have high blood pressure. And I have high blood pressure because I eat a lot of salt. Because when I want snacks and shit, I want salty stuff. I want crackers. I want chips. Yeah. So.
See, my blood pressure's high just because of fucking
and also
work.
Genetics, you know.
Mine's a lot of work. you know, fucking stress.
You should probably go to a doctor and get some meds. It's good for you. It'll help. Or you'll, like, stroke out in the next 10 years or something.
Fuck it.
I'll be doing this myself. But anyway.
Or I'll just be sitting here in ghost form and trying to talk.
I'll fucking banish you.
You won't even know I'm here.
You want to bet?
How would you know?
I'd figure it out. I'd have David come and bring all this shit. Like, we'd put up the laser grid and stuff.
I'd try to find you. I'd
bring in a young priest and an old priest.
Oh.
Then when they left, I'd have a witch doctor come in and like, sage the place or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's the right term. Witch doctor? Yeah. No, I think a witch doctor would come in here, like, sacrifice a chicken on the floor, get rid of you.
Yeah, so you have to bring a shaman in.
I have to bring in a white girl with sage and crystals.
No, it's just a shaman. You'd bring in one of those.
I mean, I know more white girls with crystals and sage than I know shamans.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. I mean, I could have my wife make a phone call and I could have some real fucking weird chick here with crystals within a couple hours.
Listen, I would trick the crystals and I don't believe in them. So, you know, I mean, and most of their stuff, whatever. I'm not, the only time I've
ever had any use for crystals is soul gems.
Oh, that's true.
Because I'll kill a dude in Skyrim and attach him.
Well, it has to be a black soul gem.
No, you can use regular ones.
No, but it has to be a
black soul gems are only for Daedra.
It's true, but they're the best.
They don't work if you're not killing Daedra. If you just kill a random person and then you trap their soul in a soul gem, then you like enchant a dagger or something with that. See, so they're tied to the blade. Then you just drop it in a lake. Fuck you. A spiteful bitch.
Yeah, you would do that, wouldn't you?
I'm the same guy that will play Red Dead Redemption and hogtie a bunch of people and put them in a shack and burn it down. So,
yeah.
Kind of scumbag.
Yeah, but you're also the same guy that'll sit there in Red Dead Redemption and play fucking poker.
I'll play poker for a couple hours,
You know.
Yep.
Dude, are you bored? Are you going to come out and play outside? Nope. Or what? Nope. You're going to sit there and play poker? Okay, you're going to play in poker. All right.
And I'm making money. Anyway.
Well, I'll just keep on going robbing people.
Yeah, have fun. I'll be here drinking and playing poker. You fucking dork. Anyway, so let's pick up where we left off last week.
Do we want to do a reminder?
Yeah, we kind of have to. So last week we talked about Talat Pasha and the Armenian Genocide, which he created because he was a piece of shit.
And then his running off to Nazi Germany.
Yeah, pre-Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. Like, very, very close to being Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
It's like that, you know, you bring all your fucking Deutschmarks to the market in a wheelbarrow to buy a loaf of bread. That era of Germany.
Mm.
You know, where their money was worth less than the air they were breathing. All right, we're back. Lost power, like, twice.
Yes. In a
very quick period of time. We got a pretty awesome windstorm rolling through the area, but anyway, so let's get back into it. So we left off with Dickhead going to Germany.
Yep.
He was brought there by the German government.
Yes.
Even though there was people in the German government that didn't want him there, and other people that were fairly high ranking that were not necessarily in the government, but you know, influential people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were banding together to try to get him arrested, but he was given a new identity, real nice apartment in Berlin at one of the nicer hotels. So like, hey, you're cool. Hang out here with us. You know, we've got a guy that wants to talk to you about this whole genocide thing. He may have questions. So hang out until he's done with, you know, recovering from being gassed during World War I. And, you know, we'll see how things go. So now we're going to get into the hero of our story, who is accidentally getting his own episode because we basically cut it short because if not, this would have been an hour and a half between if we'd done the whole thing in one shot, you know. So let's get into Sogamon Talarian, who is that's a fucking name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
not a white wizard, but like a gray wizard or something, or a black wizard? I don't know.
Brown wizard, technically.
Oh, okay.
Geographically a brown wizard.
Because we had Gandalf, Saruman, and now we got...
This is Sogamon the Brown.
Sogamon the Brown.
uh, that's kind of racist, but also kind of funny. And I'm pretty sure if there was any Armenians listening, they'd probably get a kick out of that. Because they're brown, but they're really not. It's like, they all look like they're in System of a Down. You know?
I mean, all I...
They're like white Middle Eastern.
I was just making a joke about, you
so
know...
So was I. It's fun.
The whole, like, you know... The name. I mean, that was just like, my brain went to fucking, you know, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, there was a brown wizard, though, in Lord of the Rings. I can't remember who it was.
Yes.
Radagast.
Yes. Yeah. But that wasn't Lord of the Rings. That was the Hobbit.
The Hobbit. Well, whatever. He was still Lord of the Rings adjacent.
Yeah.
In the universe.
I would think he'd be still alive, I think. I don't know.
He's part of the the Tolkien extended universe.
Yes.
You know. If fucking Marvel gets one, then he deserves one more.
True.
So
true.
Because, like, he's a good writer.
Yeah.
And Marvel's like, Stan Lee died, and now Disney owns it, so.
I think they had... Didn't they own it before Stan Lee died?
Yeah, but they had more respect for it before he died.
That's true.
You know? And now they're just waiting for George Lucas to die so they can just fuck the corpse of Star Wars into the ground even worse than they already have.
They already changed it. They're changing it.
I know. That they've again, like I said, they're just going to just try to...
They're pretending like the last three movies didn't exist.
I mean, I think all of us are at this point.
Why? They were good.
Yeah.
I thought they were good.
Held up against the previous pantheon of the other ones, they weren't good.
First off, A...
Rogue One was good. The other two, mid.
I'm going to say this. They were an extension, you know, because they kept the characters, they kept things in line. It wasn't fucking, hey, you know, we're going to jump back and then we're going to, I don't know.
No, it was just, it wasn't good.
I thought
as a Star Wars fan, I didn't enjoy it.
I liked all three of them.
I'd rather go back and watch The Phantom Menace than any of the newer ones other than Rogue One. No. Rogue One was decent. Rogue One was good.
I think
I haven't watched Solo, but I've also heard that it's not worth watching.
Oh.
So.
I've heard it was.
Oh. And I got to finish watching The Mandalorian, but I don't know.
That's worth watching.
I know, but I don't know.
I mean,
there was so much dumb bullshit where, like, we get rid of a fan favorite character because she refused to fucking apologize for saying things that could be construed as being mean.
Yeah.
And they really weren't. It was just her opinion, but it's the wrong opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
And she was a fucking fantastic character.
True.
Cara Dune was awesome.
True.
You know? And it doesn't hurt that, like, I've got a crush on Gina Carano anyway. So. She's really pretty. I did like her in fucking Deadpool, though. It's fucking Colossus, like, your boob. Oh, fixed her shirt and punched him in the dick. Anyway, so Sogamon here, our boy, is born April 2nd, 1896, in Western Armenia in the village of Pakarji.
I love it.
It's a weird fucking word because if you look at it quick, it looks like Pakistani.
Ah.
If you look at it quick, because it's Pakarij.
Oh.
So I was like, that's an interesting one. Man, it doesn't get any better from here. He's the youngest child of Ketchutar and Hazanadad Talarian. I couldn't tell you which one's his mother, which one's his father.
Your guess is, let's flip a coin.
I mean,
No.
One of them looks like you misspelled Hazard, and the other one looks like, again, a monster from Star Wars. Feed them to the Khazichar!
I mean, how it normally goes, I would say first name is father, last name is mother.
It's so hard. There's no gender identifiers in these names for me.
But I'm
fucking winging it.
I'm just going of how everything usually is written, and I think that would be father first, mother second.
Probably. So, pretty hard to find anything on his childhood up until about 1905 when he enrolled at a local Protestant college. He then moved on to Yerznik College, where he was from 1907 to 1911. And after college, he ends up moving to Serbia to go work with his dad and his uncle.
Okay.
So the game plan here, we're going to work with them for a little bit, save enough money. I'm going to go to Germany, and I'm going to go to a big ass university. Like mm-hmm. he wanted to continue his education. He was,
yeah.
If I remember correctly from what I was reading, his game plan was to become like a philosophy professor.
Uh-huh.
Cause he's a very smart dude and he wanted to, you know, start making his way towards doing that. Unfortunate timing because he gets into Serbia on June 28th, 1914.
Okay.
That sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the same day that Serbian nationalist and contender in this year's asshole eliminator tournament, Gavrilo Princip, killed Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife and their driver, but nobody gives a shit about him, right? Man, I can't wait to talk about that because how he fucking did it is crazy. It's absolutely fucking crazy because he was just like...
It's pure accidental.
He was in the right place at the wrong time and then the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah. It was purely accidental. Yeah. Like,
well, we'll save that, though.
Yeah. Just things just happened. Yeah.
Motherfucker's walking out of a Subway sandwich shop. He's like, oh, hey.
Whoa, hey, look. Yeah. Look what happened.
A flat tire, you say?
Oh, damn.
So where was I here? So when that happened, Armenians across the world kind of flocked to join the Armenian Volunteer Army. And from there, they would also... The ones that were a little bit more extreme joined up with ARF, which was the Armenian Revolutionary Front,
mm-hmm.
which was basically the Armenian IRA. You know, probably okay. didn't have as good a music, but nobody does. You know, people want to make the comparison between the IRA and the Taliban. Fucking Taliban music is not good. The IRA had some bangers. I mean,
I don't think they had music.
Well, they got some dude playing sitar and like wailing.
That was just traditional.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they didn't make up their own shit like the fucking IRA.
Well, I mean, if you want to really get into it, IRA music, and none of the music itself is original. It's just the songs. Because all of the music is set to, like, old Irish folk song and drinking songs anyway. Because, you can listen to them, and you go, wait a minute, I've heard that somewhere else. Oh, that's a different song completely about just, you know, getting shithouse drunk at a bar. It's the same music. It's just different words.
It's what the Irish do.
Yeah. Go listen to the Wolftones. You will not be disappointed. So, he decides that in 1915, he's going to join up with the fight. Uh-huh. Because World War One, everybody was still very... Europeans were still very romantic about warfare. Yeah. We're going to go out here and we're going to stand shoulder to shoulder and we're going to fire and then they're going to fire and we'll take a break and have lunch. They were still fighting Napoleonic style.
Everybody was, though.
Right. But we'd been at war more recently. And we're probably like, yeah, this is y'all ain't going to have any fun. So this is like World War One killed an entire generation because a lot of young men were like, oh, I'm going to go fight and be a hero, and no, you're not. You're going to get fucking gassed to death in a trench, and then you're going to lay there, and people are going to build shelves over the top of your corpse so that they can stand on top of your dead body to shoot at Germans.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get trench foot, and then they're going to get eaten alive by rats. So, very, very romantic. Like, the French, a lot of the French, like, generals and, like, lieutenants and shit were going out in their father's Napoleonic War, uniforms, so like bright blue jackets, red pants, and white gloves, the goofy hats and shit, and they're just like standing there at the top of the trench telling people to fire. Then they'd catch, you know, 150 rounds in the chest from a fucking machine gun.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. This ain't you fighting fucking Wellington, but
no.
So
I mean, we but like us over here, we had already been like almost desensitized, but we had seen the people had been shown with the Civil War.
Correct.
That war isn't romantic.
Correct.
You know, this particular gentleman, if you have never heard of it, you got to go look it up. There's pictures where,
is it Westinghouse?
No. Can't remember his fucking name off the top of my head, but he basically went from, you know, through the battlefields.
Brady?
And he took, yes.
Okay.
He took pictures and everything to show them that, you know, this is basically, this is what war is. You're sitting on top of the hill watching this, thinking, oh, it's so great, and having lunch or whatever. It's not.
Yeah.
Not great at all.
Well, I mean, you gotta think, though, we'd been at war for a long time before that, too, but that was the first time that we had actually been shown it, like, in a newspaper and, you know. Because the fucking Spanish-American War, like, the Mexican-American War, all that shit happened, and we'd been at war since 1773 at this point, basically.
Well, but then we had, like, a whole period before this where we hadn't been at war.
Correct.
So then a particular guy was like, hey, I think we need to do something. And he's like, you know what? We're going to go to San Juan Hill, and we're going to fucking... You know, we're going to go to Puerto Rico and we're going to fucking do shit.
Yeah, you're
shit.
Goddamn right we're going to. And you know what we got out of that? Baseball players.
We did.
And good food.
That's true.
The music's pretty decent, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Puerto Ricans are fucking cool.
But you know, it was just because we hadn't been to war, like almost a whole generation or a couple generations hadn't been to war. Yeah. You know.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we were like, hey, look, then they were going to go to war and then we're going to have, you know, a little bit of a break. Then we're going to go to war.
Yeah. Then we have a generation that's growing up on TikTok where I've seen so many videos, like compilations of like on YouTube, compilations of like Gen Z kids on TikTok. Like, if I get drafted, I'm just not going to go to war. Yeah, bitch, you are. That's how a draft works.
Yeah.
Like, if they tell you you're going, you're going to go. Because first of all, your ass is too lazy to go to Canada to try to dodge it. Second of all, you ain't going to just say no, because that's not how it works.
The problem is, I think that...
Not that I'd wish a draft on fucking anybody, because I think it's a horrible idea.
The problem is, I think the first person to say no, and then a whole bunch of people will jump on the bandwagon and say no, and then they'll go, okay, you don't have to go.
Oh, here's conspiracy theory time. There's a very good reason... Strap the tinfoil on, because, you know.
It's on.
The reason that we're letting so many people come across the border illegally is because if we have to draft, we can just go, hey, you, grab a uniform, become a citizen, go vote, go fight and die for us, too. Why not? Fuck it. Not the first time or the last time that will ever happen.
Mm.
You know. But, yeah, that's the big, one of the big ones that I keep seeing, and I'm like, it kind of makes sense.
Hmm.
It kind of does, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, I mean, it's essentially conscription, which, you know.
So he joins the war.
Yeah, well, he gets really lucky because he gets sent to the 1st Battalion, which just so happens to be run by a guy named Andronic Ozanian, who is a bad, bad son of a bitch. Free plug. Go listen to Let Them Fight, episode 191. They covered this guy. I would love to cover him at some point in time because he was a fucking lunatic. Holy shit. He did some wild, wild shit. Hmm. Then he came here and became an American citizen and fucking opened businesses and stuff. And yeah, he was basically so any of our listeners in California, if depending on where you are, you may know that Fresno has a huge population of Armenian immigrants and, you know, generations past of, you know, people that were born here, obviously, but, you know, generations previous, their parents or grandparents came here from Armenia. And he was one of them. He was kind of like the first wave that came over and were like, this place is pretty fucking rad, you know? So where was I here? So June 1915, together with Armenian volunteers, Sogoman enters Van, which is in Turkey, which also has a lake monster. Fun fact. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Some, like, giant pink dolphin thing, whatever. Yeah. Look at the Van Lake monster. You'll see it. So the group that he was in, this 1st Battalion, when they got there just in time to see... to witness the quote-unquote mass deportation of Armenians. So they saw a bunch of, you know, hundreds of thousands of Armenians being kicked out. They're being deported to Igdir and then Yerevan. So in his memoir, Talarian writes, quote, "Sudden retreat made it impossible to undertake any preparation for such a crowd. There was no space, not enough bread or food, not enough medical aid, while most of the deportees were sick." So basically, they were getting their asses kicked, and they had to back out. They had to pull out, and they couldn't help these people.
Yep.
Which pissed all of them off. So among the Armenian deportees, there were hundreds of orphan kids because their parents are dead and they have nowhere to go. So now they're being shipped off to essentially be processed and then, you know, killed en masse with the rest of them. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. He did gather up a few of these sick, like, orphan kids from the streets of Yerevan and Ekmazin. So the kids that he could help, he directly himself put into orphanages. Like, paid their fees to put them in so they would have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Good dude. Meanwhile, 1915, there's, again, massacres, deportations of Armenians. And this, a lot of it really started in Yerzenka, where he went to college originally. The way that I wrote it from where I found it, they put, it's in as the daughter of his brother, so his niece.
Okay.
So of his 85 family members that he could, you know, name off the top of his head, his niece is the only one that survived. That'd be like his parents, all of his siblings, cousins, all that. His niece is the only one that he knows of survived. He lost 85 family members in the genocide.
Wow. Holy shit.
So later he would end up kind of running into her among like a group of Kurds. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. His father had actually moved to Serbia. That's where, you know, his father and one of his uncles were in Serbia, so they'd missed this whole thing. So those two survived as well.
Oh, okay.
His niece had got kind of, like, linked up with a group of, like, Kurdish people who, again, have been a fucking whipping horse for everybody in the Middle East also.
Like the Palestinians.
Or, you know, the fucking Armenians.
Well, I mean, you know? the Kurdish are, like, the... And the Palestinians are like the bastard children of the Islamic faith. I mean, you know, it's because they're a little bit different of how they perceive the, you know, the Quran.
They're the Unitarians of Islam.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Lutherans.
Yeah.
That would probably be a better
something like that.
Analogy.
Yeah. They always get shit on.
Too extreme for one, not extreme enough for the other. You can die.
Yeah, I get fucking gassed by Saddam.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Kurds.
You got to give them credit, though, because those Kurdish broads fucking gave ISIS hell with their homemade 50 caliber sniper rifles and shit.
True.
Like.
True.
Credit where it's due.
I don't think it was good enough, but they tried.
The fact that if they were killed by women, they didn't get to go to heaven makes it even better.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, homemade 50 caliber rifles made out of like fucking pipes and shit, like they're in Fallout.
Yep.
That's pretty rad.
It is.
I saw a video of one of them. She's like up on a balcony or some shit. And she's like trying to line up a shot, and there's another person like off on the side of the balcony, like filming the whole thing. And she's like she's on the rifle with her head down to the scope, and the wall behind her just fucking explodes. Just like this, like a chunk the size of a softball comes flying out of the wall and just falls on the ground. She looks up from the scope. It's like, she's like, comes back into it, pulls the trigger. It's like, that's fucking awesome, man. That's a bad bitch right there. That's what that is. You
yeah.
Know? So, okay.
So his niece joins up the Kurds.
Yep. So
a group of Kurds.
Yeah. So 1916, he returns to his hometown of Yerzhnika, where, you know, again, where he'd gone to college, because his family had kind of moved there from the little, like, podunk village they were in before. the town has been occupied at this point in time, thankfully by Russians, which are friendly, in this example. So they're he's trying to, like, kind of going through town trying to see if he can find any other family members. He gets to his family's house, which is now just a hole in the ground, essentially. There was nobody there. Like, there was the whole fucking block that they lived on was gone. Wow. Basically, it was rubble. Nobody could, you know, it's a war zone.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like what Syria looks like. I hate to say it, but
fucking Stalingrad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing you gotta, like, it's kind of weird to think about was World War One. There wasn't really a lot of, like, fighting in cities. They're fighting in goddamn farmers' fields. World War II, on the other hand, was when you get to learn all about urban combat. And that's a bitch.
But then Korea kind of went back to...
Yeah, Korea and Vietnam. In Vietnam, they fought in cities a bit, but not like World War II.
No, but then it wasn't until...
Then we hit the big leagues of urban combat and went into fucking Iraq.
But that...
The second time we went into
Iraq.
Because we
didn't really go in the first time. We just fucking...
The first time we're just glassing tanks and cruising through the desert.
Yeah, we just fucking shot a couple of Patriot missiles and fucking blew up some Scuds and...
Why not?
You know.
Was it the American casualty thing, like, list for the first Gulf War? Wasn't it, like, less than 100 guys? Something like that?
I don't think it was that many.
You know? But then you have fucking Fallujah. And then Fallujah again. And, yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, some other places, I mean, it was pretty bad.
None of it was good.
No.
You know?
But at the same time, you also had, you know, Afghanistan rocking.
But again, Afghanistan was more just fighting out in the wide open for the most part.
That's true.
You know, little villages, but that's not really... You know, on the same scale as if they were, like, when they were in, you know, Kabul or whatever.
No, they didn't fight. I don't think there was no fighting.
I'm sure there was some, but it was, you know, small scale shit, I would imagine.
It was, like, smaller, like, towns and stuff.
Yeah.
That there was, you know, fighting in the towns.
Yeah. But Iraq was the city fighting, and that was... Hey, shit, we talked about a guy who was... Yeah. I believe he was in Fallujah. Remember, it was the first or second time David Bellavia.
Yeah.
Anyway. So his house is fucking gone. And this is kind of weird because he ends up being seen by a medic. Because as he's walking, walking around in the area of where his house was, he just kind of collapses and has a seizure.
Oh.
Then turns out that he was an epileptic. And this just so happened to be the first time that he had a seizure. Like the first time that he had noticed having a seizure, because he'd had like tremors and stuff here and there, like when he was in college, which, you know, you can attribute, you know, hand tremors to basically anything, but
this
was his first, like,
it could have been the shock of seeing his family's home,
right?
Or homes,
yeah,
gone,
yeah, but this would have been his first, what do you want to call it, grand mal seizure, where you actually lock up and go down.
Yeah.
Those are fucking terrifying to watch if you've ever seen them.
Oh, I saw my grandmother have
Holy shit.
When I was a little kid.
That
was fucking terrifying.
My aunt she hasn't had one in a while, but she used to. I just found out a couple weeks ago that my mom's an epileptic also. She's never had a seizure, but she's, you know, passed all the testing to find out that she has epilepsy. The worst is watching an animal go through it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. So
sucks.
Ruger has been having seizures here and there. He had a bad one a few weeks ago. Like, Shelby called me at work. She thought he was going to die. He was on all fours, and then he started to shake and, like, went up backwards, like, up onto his hind legs, then back over onto the marble floor head first. Then he had one a couple weeks later where he was sitting on the couch, and it was more like almost like an extended cold chill. Kind of, but it was still not great.
Cooper had him.
Yeah.
Had him driving around the fucking road.
Now, I remember that one. Yeah, you remember you calling me about it. That was fucking sketchy.
Yeah, going out on the fucking road and having a seizure and it's like, what the fuck? What do you do?
Nothing.
You know.
Pull off and, you know, keep him in a contained space where he can't hurt himself.
I just fucking just did whatever.
You know. So they get into Yuznikan, and he was part of a mission where he's, again, looking after orphan kids and trying to get them all into orphanages. So what this entailed was going through, you know, forests, digging through rubble and ruined buildings, caves, trying to find kids that had run off.
Yep.
And when they were anytime they'd find these kids, they would just kind of round them all up and ship them off to an orphanage. Again, Armenia is a Christian country, so they've got church-run orphanages all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do. I don't think orphanages are really a thing anymore anywhere. It's more like the foster care system, but I don't know. Maybe Europe doesn't do that. I don't know.
I got no clue.
I've never been there.
Part of me says yes, they still do, but I don't know.
Probably not like they used to be, though, where it was basically a poor farm for children, you know? Because, like, old-school orphanages were fucking bad. I mean, now they're probably not great, but I can't imagine they're, you know, at their...
It was fucking in a building, and you know, you were in with, you know...
A bunch of other kids.
Yeah.
So, back to his memoirs. He refers to his efforts of gathering orphans, quote, "In April, the Russians occupied Trabzon... and entered Yerzan in the middle of July. Raw-boned and savage children appeared everywhere in the field of Erzurum. Most of them had survived in the ruins of destroyed Armenian villages. Those who were found were shaking in fear like an autumn leaf. Huge efforts should be undertaken to assure them that they are in safety now. They have forgotten their language, their nationality, and humans. Approximately 200 of them were gathered in Khnus." That's a town.
Yeah.
Khnus.
I figured.
I don't fucking know if that's even a real word, but we're going with it. The effort to save orphans were in the foreground. Each little orphan was a new brick to rebuild the nation. Pretty well said. And this guy's out there doing good shit.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of good stories coming out of World War One or, you know, the fucking Armenian genocide. But, you know, this guy's out here.
Definitely is.
He's out here doing the Lord's work. Yeah.
This guy definitely is, you know, a just cause.
Oh, he's going to get so much more just in his cause.
Nice.
Oh, dude. So in Yuznikan, Sogomon joined the detachment of Murad. Oh, Sebastaki?
Is this a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. His other name was Murad of Sebastia.
I'd like that better.
Yeah, because it's easier to say.
Yeah.
Because it's just fucking Sebastian without the N at the end of it.
Ah, yes, true.
And now I just picture him as being an Armenian Jamaican crab.
True.
Come on. So he took part in the military operation in the Caucasus Front. Which is up by the pee hole.
yep.
April 6th, 1918, in the Gorge of Karakurd, near Sarikamish, he gets shot.
Who? Our dude?
Our boy gets shot.
Okay.
So he's moved to Tbilisi to recover, you know, get back on his feet a little bit. December 1918, he is back out ready to fight. He arrives in Istanbul to find someone who's betrayed everybody. It's a Heratorian. Oh. MKRT at the beginning. How the fuck do you say that? Murtarchin?
Fuck if I don't know. Dude, I don't know. We'll just call him M.
So this guy had compiled what was referred to as a blacklist, according to which Talat Pasha had ordered to exile any of these Armenian political and cultural elites that were still out there.
Okay.
And this guy is trying to find them to give him information because he's a fucking dirtbag. He's pulling a George Soros where he's selling out his own people to the bad guys.
Yes.
If you could look into it. Yeah. Yeah. He was a piece of shit. He still is. He's not dead yet, unfortunately. We did lose a Rothschild, though, so hold on. World's Tiniest Violin. Rest in piss, you piece of shit. So, April 24th, 1915 February 1919, he catches up with this Heratunian guy.
Yep.
Our boy does.
Puts a bullet in his head.
And fucking shoots him in the street.
Fucking right!
So, he's not in the regular army anymore, if you haven't noticed. He's out here doing some goon CIA shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Story's going to get really good. Late 1919, Soghomam moves to the U.S. He's introduced to the famous Armenian politician, Armand Garo, who's involved in something that's going to come up called Operation Nemesis. Which is a great fucking name.
I know.
God, we used to know, as a species, we used to know how to name shit.
We did.
God damn.
Paperclip.
Going
Nemesis.
To go into fucking Vietnam, you had Operation Iron Tiger and shit. Oh, man. Operation Iraqi Freedom. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
They could have come up with a better name.
Man. So much better.
I mean. You know,
give us 20 minutes and we could have made that war way fucking cooler.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Or made it more interesting with a good name.
Operation Sandhammer or some bullshit. Oh, dude. Fuck. Yeah. Right there.
Son of a bitch. Know. See. Yeah. I mean, if the first time out of it said Operation Go Fuck Your Missile. But, you know.
That's Missile Hunter is what that is. That's the prequel.
Yes, Operation Missile Hunter.
Scud Buster.
Yeah, Scud Buster.
That sounds like a wrestling move, though.
Well, that's what the Patriot did.
That's a top rope brain buster is all that is.
The Patriot.
Come off the top. And...
Yeah, the Patriot did that. Every time it hit, it was like, Scud Buster.
We didn't even have to. They were launching them, and they were coming straight back down where they fucking came from.
Nah, not most of the time.
A lot of them were. It's like North Korea's missiles were like, oh, we shot a missile into the sea. It's like, because that's as far as it fucking made it, because you guys made it yourselves.
No, the Scuds, I mean, I remember watching it on CNN or whatever, fucking, you know, come home every day, and you see those motherfuckers, they'd be launched off, and the fucking Patriot would just go, and you go, boom.
It's like, you know, Hamas trying to fucking rocket attack Israel and missing and hitting their own shit. I mean, if you don't maintain your equipment, it's not going to work when you need it to.
Well, when you're fighting with rocks and
I'm talking when they were firing fucking missiles and they were missing. They were putting wrong coordinates in and dropping them 3 blocks away from where they fired them.
Once again, you know, it's fucking... I don't want to get into it on the podcast with it because it's not. I don't want to divert from what we're talking about.
All right,
because so, you know this guy's, you know, kind of. I want to know more about him.
He's going to get way more badass. So Operation Nemesis, which is named after the Greek goddess of revenge.
Yeah.
Which never really figured out how. That worked into Resident Evil. I think it was just a cool thing that they wanted to use instead.
They called it Nemesis Project, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Nemesis was fucking sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a...
But he wasn't anything like... the movie didn't really do him justice, right?
Physically, yes. Like, yeah. Honestly, the Resident Evil movies, for as shitty as they are, like... When they do a bad guy, they kind of stick to the games pretty good. So, like, the Nemesis in the movie looks a lot like the ones from the game.
But wasn't there some stuff missing or something, right?
Oh, I don't know. Could have been.
I thought you said, that, like, I thought when it came out, you and I were talking about it. And you were like, oh, well, he could have done this or something. I don't know. It was different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they have to change shit for the movie, you know, to make it different from the video game. But,
okay.
The Stars guys were fucking badass. And the games are like, oh, we're special forces, and then they just get fucking shit stomped constantly, like, and then we're gonna leave it up to a city cop.
See, like, I don't remember you
the fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so that's one of those ones where I know we're digressing, but
yeah,
I don't remember one of those. I don't remember you actually talking about, or when I watched you play, because it's one of the, another one of those games where I never played it, but I always watched you play it, or I was like, don't fucking. Gotta get that fucking, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The fucking plant that does the thing. You mix those two together, I bet.
You gotta get the green shit that makes you, it fixes your health. I wonder where that came from. Green herb that you use that makes you feel good.
Yeah, but you, huh. make, you take the green and the red and you put them together.
Yeah, it's called speedball. So, Operation Nemesis is set up to bring justice, the exact wording to this, bring justice to the Young Turks leaders,
okay,
who had escaped prosecution for their crimes against the Armenians and humanity. Okay, we're going on a full blown fucking Wyatt Earp revenge ride, just with still with a good mustache, probably, but less horses. So the Armenian Revolutionary Front, so ARF, had decided to sentence the perpetrators of the Armenian genocide to death during their General Assembly that was held in Yerevan in autumn 1919. Obviously, the three pashas are all tried in absentia because they're not there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because they're smart enough to be like, well, we just kind of tried to kill an entire species of people, so we should probably leave.
Yeah.
Our
own people. Fuck them.
No, they weren't our people because they're less than us. That's why we killed them.
True.
You know.
Are less than us people.
I mean, you're trying to tell me that you know, the German Jews were German? No, they weren't. They're Jews. That's why we had to kill them, right? They're not real Germans. They're Jewish.
True.
I mean, it was basically the same thing here. It's like, you're not Turks. You're Christian. We got to kill you.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of what it boiled down to was, you know, you're practicing the wrong religion in the wrong area.
Yes.
Even though they've been there longer than you. But whatever.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah. So the assembly set 41 targets that were all part of the Young Turks. They were all tried and sentenced to death. 41 people.
So this was basically Mossad before Mossad. Did you hit squads where, you know, well, I mean, this is the Jew hit squad before?
They're Christians.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was the Jew hit squad.
Armenian Mossad.
Yeah, it was the Armenian hit squad before the you know.
But I mean, are you going to get mad at somebody getting assassinated for, you know, killing 2 million people?
No,
no,
no, no, no. I'm just making a point that it's before that existed. There was this, you know.
Yeah, basically. So the primary target, our ace of spades, if you will. Is Talat Pasha.
Yes.
And he had already been sentenced to death in Turkey by the Turks.
Oh.
Because the government had fallen.
They didn't like him either.
Well, no. Their version of the government had fallen and come back as an actual, in quotes, like, democracy. And a bunch of people were like, yeah, we should probably sentence him to death to look good, at least, you know. So he's now, again, under an assumed name, living in Berlin, hanging out, you know, going to all these little shops and stuff. I'm going to flash forward to March 15th, 1921. A little chilly. It's mid-March in Germany, you know. About the same climate as here, you know. March, you're starting to come into spring, but you still have cold nights. Might still have, you know, a couple chilly days, you know, the 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
You know, you need gloves, you need some mittens, you know.
Yeah.
So he leaves his apartment. Gonna go get a pair of gloves. Hands are cold. Hands are cold up there. The fucking Germans don't know how to heat anything, you know. Being a Turk, he knows about heat.
Yeah.
So he's walking down the street, and he passes by a couple of these shops, and our boy Sogamon just so happens to be in one of those shops because he knows right where this motherfucker lives. So he steps out of the shop and follows him a couple of blocks, just kind of, you know, mingling in with people, blending in. You know, might not be the easiest thing in the world for an Armenian to blend in Germany. Not much worse than a Turk trying to do it, I would imagine. Germans are pretty fucking white.
True.
You know, and we've seen pictures of Talat Pasha. Not to be racist, but he was not a white man.
No.
He had a fat face, a bad mustache. Yeah. So trailing him a little bit.
Yeah.
Crowd thins out. He closes the distance and he puts a bullet in the back of his fucking head. Talat Pasha is dead before he hits the ground. And Sogamon Talarian
lights out London.
Yep, puts his pistol away and stands there. Waited to be arrested. He shot him once.
Uh-huh.
Once. This man is responsible for the death of 85 of his family members and upwards of 2 million of his countrymen. He shot him once.
Once kills him.
That's fucking restraint.
But once is enough.
Doesn't matter.
He's dead.
Nobody would have been upset with this guy if he had shot him 5 more times and then smashed his head into the concrete until it was applesauce with a mustache in it. Nobody would have been upset about
that. Yeah, but to him, that one shot was enough for everybody. Was everybody an everybody shot?
Yeah, but still, nobody would have been like.
That's my guess.
But again, if he had just completely lost control and fucking smashed this man flat with a telephone pole or something, nobody would have been like, he went a little too far. No. He could have dragged him through the streets, like, connected to a fucking monster truck, and I would have, like, been cheering for him.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Do it again! So, yeah, again, he just, after that, he literally put his pistol back in his jacket and just stood there and waited for the cops to get there to arrest him. So after reading about Talat Pasha's murder in the newspaper, Raphael Lemkin, guy we mentioned last week, Polish lawyer, felt that Sogamon Talarian, in Operation Nemesis, quote, upheld the moral order of mankind. He's not wrong.
No.
He also had this to say. Can a man appoint himself to mete out justice? Will not passion sway such from such form of justice and make travesty of it? At that moment, my worries about the murder of the innocent became more meaningful to me. I don't know all the answers, but I felt that a law against this type of racial and religious murder must be adopted by the world. Yeah. This is also the man that coined the term genocide. So, and I'm not sure if he's Jewish or not, but he is a Polish lawyer, which would have made him an intellectual in Poland. He would have been a pretty good person to speak on this because he is about to go through it himself.
Yeah.
You know? Let's take a quick break here. Okay. So at the beginning of the police investigation, Talarian was offered a Turkish-speaking interpreter, but refused to speak Turkish. Fuck that. I'm not speaking it. March 16th, the police recruited an Armenian interpreter. What a fucking name. Kavork Klawastian?
Ah, costume bag. Okay,
it's,
gotcha.
It's Klaus with an O in the middle of it. These might be worse than Russian.
Uh-huh. I'm
trying to say.
So
he was part of Operation Nemesis, and they brought him in as an interpreter.
Ah.
I don't know if the police knew that he was part of the plan.
Here's your key. Get out of jail.
No, they brought him in as an interpreter because he could speak Armenian and English.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, he also had like a knife or something or a fucking, you know, a pick or something, and he handed it to him.
Oh, you don't need that. You can just change the wording of shit. They don't know what he's saying.
It's true.
German cops don't speak Armenian.
No, it's true. They don't.
You know?
They probably don't speak English either. So,
oh, probably not. I mean, he must have spoken German then, I would assume. I'm an asshole.
He probably spoke German.
So, to his face, Talarian was like, yeah, I killed him. Yep, I did it out of revenge. I planned this all out, and I came to Germany on my own accord to do this.
No, you didn't. You came with the cause, right?
No. He told the police that he acted alone. He was there on his own.
No, I'm saying what the other guy said was saying to him. No, you came here for the cause.
Nah, dude. If you're fucking undercover like this, you just got to play along with it and be like, yeah, he's saying he came here by himself, even though
I'm saying, I know
I bought the ticket next to him on the plane.
He's saying it to him, but he's, you know, on the other side of his mouth.
He already knows that he was here for the cause because he's part of the cause himself.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. No, I don't know this man.
Yeah.
This is the first
time.
How
fucking weird to run into another Armenian here in Berlin.
Surprise.
It's fucking wild.
How does that happen?
Really? Right?
Were you on here on vacation? Oh, no. Wait. He said he was here to kill people.
Man, this is like that time I went to California and I ran into a guy that I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Fucking wild.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I've never been to California. So it happened in Maine once, though. That was kind of weird.
No.
The only other green plate in the Tim Hortons parking lot just so happened to be a kid I graduated from high school with. But, I mean, Maine's 3 hours from here. So true. Little different than Armenia to Germany.
Yeah, it's a couple more hours.
So at the trial, Talarian denied the assassination was premeditated. Just so happened to see him. And I went, hey, I know that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. The interpreter refused to sign the document of interrogation on the grounds that
he wasn't there to interrogate him.
Yeah.
He was just there to interpret.
So the preliminary investigation is concluded on March 21st. This is another word I'm going to terribly pronounce. The Dashnashirikin raised between 100 and 300,000 marks for his legal defense.
Okay.
Which at that time was approximately like $28 American. But all of this money that they raised, like the majority of it, came from Armenian Americans. They were like, nah, fuck that asshole. I'll send him a nickel.
Yeah.
They translated Talarian's words into German during the trial. And this our interpreter here was also involved with paying bills, organizing defense, and rallying the Armenian Central Committee to, like, hey, send someone here as a character witness to say, this is, you know, I know this man. I also know the man that he killed, and I can tell you this guy is better than that guy. You know?
That guy killed a lot of our people. That guy didn't.
Yeah.
He saved a lot of our people.
Yeah. He didn't save anybody. Well, yes, he did. Kids. That's true. He did. He saved a bunch of fucking orphans.
Yeah.
And then he also got, like, the sweetest revenge of all time.
Yeah.
That's like, you need a cigarette afterwards kind of revenge.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That would have been a good one. That would have been the best one ever.
Probably.
That's like busting a nut revenge.
Ooh.
Like, immediately, you're just like,
yeah. A little shiver.
Yeah. Vinegar strokes, and you know, here you go.
And then you're also having that, you know, that drink out as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. You need a cigarette and a coffee after that.
Yeah.
Kloestian interpreted from German to Armenian. Three German lawyers. Ooh, that's an unfortunate name. Adolf von Gordon. Johannes Werther, and Theodor Niemeyer. Wow. Wow, German's a lot goddamn easier than Armenian.
It is.
They were all paid 75,000 marks, and they represented him because they just got handed, you know, more money than they've seen in the last probably 4 years during the war because their money's worth nothing. So these guys were actually like pretty well-known lawyers in Berlin. This is the equivalent of getting Johnny Cochran and the fucking Kardashian there represent OJ.
Yeah.
Except this guy was completely justified in killing the person and not, you know.
The clothes don't fit. You must acquit.
Yeah. He also didn't beat his wife regularly and then just sign autographs for the cops and send them on their way and then go back in and beat the shit out of her. And then, like, almost decapitate her and her friend on the front steps of her house. You know, he just killed one asshole that deserved it. You know, O.J. Simpson could be on the asshole eliminator if we ever do like a small scale one. It's like asshole athlete eliminator. We got some fucking contenders.
Okay.
You know, and I already know the winner, so I won't even go there. Way worse than OJ. So they're them being like very prominent. This kind of made the whole trial more like way more public. Mm. The state prosecutor and the judge, you know, they were like, oh, this is going to be a fucking nightmare. This is going to be a disaster. It's going to be, you know, the press is going to be all over the place. This is going to be an absolute circus. And my computer just shot me back up like 3 pages.
Son of a bitch.
The trial was held at Moabit Criminal Court between June 2nd and 3rd. Pretty quick. Courtroom is completely packed. Like, there's people standing up along the walls and around the back. People standing in the aisles and shit to watch this. Many Armenians in Germany attended the trial, and there were some other Turks that were there in attendance as well. Including Talat Pasha's wife. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
put her on the stand.
Uh-huh.
He was a great guy. Judge just fucking punches her in the side of that. Bitch, he was not. Kill her, too.
Tell the truth. Was he really a great guy?
You're not allowed to shoot her. We're going to guillotine her ass in the street, because we still use that up until about 1970. Yeah. Hard to believe that the last person that was killed with a guillotine was alive to be, you know, just a couple years short of seeing the first Star Wars movie. It's fucking wild. So his wife, so journalists from Germany and international newspapers were also in attendance. The Daily Telegraph, the Chicago Daily News, Philadelphia Public Ledger, yeah, people from fucking Associated Press. All of these people are here.
Yeah.
A lot of there was a lot of big news organizations like the Wall Street Journal and shit that requested press passes for it that were denied because the courtroom was already full.
Oh, wow.
So they had to get all of their shit from the Associated Press. So they've got some dude there from the Wall Street Journal that's just standing outside with his dick in his hand, and he can't do anything. Which
He's like, hand me the paperwork. Go.
He's got his fedora with the press ticket stuck in it, and he's like, I can't even go in there.
Why aren't you inside? Sons of bitches won't let me in.
So according to a historian, quote, it was one of the most spectacular trials of the 20th century. Sounds like it. The defense strategy was to put Talat Pasha on trial for the murder of Talarian's family members and the other 1 million Armenians whose deaths he had ordered.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to try to put this guy on trial, even though he's
dead,
approximately room temperature somewhere, naked with his fat little gut hanging out. You know, mortician can't even see the dude's dick because his belly's too big. Or his dick's too small. Or 50-50. You know.
60-40. I mean,
genociding people seems like a little dick energy to me. You know? That doesn't seem like somebody who's, you know, confident in the size of their dick does that.
I mean, it's big dick until you're like, eh.
Hitler only had one nut, so.
Yeah, but it's big dick energy until you're like, eh, I'm not going to stick around. I'm going to fucking flee. Because I don't want to, you know, face the heat.
Ordering the deaths of millions of people means you probably have a little penis. You know, mushroom in a cornfield, little penis. So he believed that Talarian would likely be convicted, according to. Oh shit! I'm sorry, I skipped the line here. So one of the lawyers saw it as an opportunity to propagandize the Armenian cause. He believed that that Talarian would be likely convicted according to German law, but hoped to secure a pardon for him. Because, yes, it was justified, but yes, you also killed a man. It's illegal. You know? Imagine being the cop being like, I get it, but, you know, I get it. I still got to arrest you, though.
And he's like, all right, fine.
You know? I'll even cuff you in the front. You seem like a nice guy.
I'll let you ride in the front.
That's when you know a cop totally fucking agrees with the guy that he has to arrest. He's like, listen, I'll cuff you in the front.
Yeah.
You ain't going to do anything. You're fine.
You don't have to sit in the back seat. You know? You can sit in the front seat. It's
like,
okay.
Like when you get arrested for having a bunch of weed in your car, but you're like, oh, I got weed. Sorry. All right, fine. You rascal, get in the car.
I'm going to take that from you, but...
You want to smoke this or something? Huh? So one of his other attorneys was a little bit more optimistic, and he announced days after the assassination that he had certainty of achieving his client's acquittal. The Protestant missionary and activist Johannes Lepsius, who had spoken out against the killing of Armenians, he worked on presenting the case against Talat. Strategy here is 100% successful. So as the social democratic newspaper Vorwärts, social democratic newspaper, that sounds a whole bunch like it's going to be Nazi propaganda here in a couple years.
No, it's different.
You're trying to tell me that social democrats and democratic socialism are two different things?
Same thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, but they were just straight up socialists. They weren't democratic socialists. It's different.
Oh, I'm pretty sure this is going to get folded into the Nazi party, though.
No. It'd be different.
State-run media.
Doesn't matter.
We'll see. Quote, in reality, it was the blood-stained shadow of Talat Pasha who was sitting on the defendant's bench, and the true charge was the ghastly Armenian horrors, not his execution by one of the few victims left alive. So, our murderer is not on trial. The man he killed is, essentially, is what they're saying here. To maximize the probability of acquittal, the defense presented Talarian as a lone vigilante rather than, you know,
working
someone who is part of a giant operation to avenge the deaths of millions of people that didn't deserve it. You know, he's just like,
he was just out there.
Armenian, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald, basically.
He didn't do it.
No, he didn't. The fucking CIA did.
And the mob.
Mostly the CIA.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right.
At
least we agree on that one.
And honestly, I think Lyndon Butthole Johnson had a whole bunch more to do with that assassination than anybody wants to let on. Because he would definitely would have been contacted by the CIA to be like, hey, listen, we know that you are in favor of going to Vietnam, and he is not. We want to go to Vietnam. How would you like to be president?
Yeah.
All you got to do is keep a secret.
And you know? And the mafia is already pissed off at him, so, you know.
Who would you rather have pissed off at you, the mafia or the CIA? You can reason with the mafia if you try hard enough. Not much reasoning with the fucking alphabet boys. You know, they'll flashbang your children, shoot your dog, you know, that make you look like the bad guy.
But wasn't it the FBI?
All of them are like that, though.
The FBI did it, not the CIA.
So did the ATF. I'm sure the CIA's done it to somebody in a fucking third world village somewhere.
It's true. Probably.
You know.
Probably.
Those
fuck faces.
So German police looked for Talarian's associates, but did not find anybody because they're good at hiding. The defense tried to forge a connection between Talarian and Talat through Talarian's mother by proving that Talat caused her death. Which, yeah, he kind of did. But he also caused the deaths of a bunch of other people. So, so along with that, along with all of Talat's crimes, the defense argument rested on Talarian being, quote, traumatized in a, in a traumatized mental state, which could make him not liable for his actions according to the German law of temporary insanity, section 51 of the Penal Code.
Yes.
The German prosecution's main goal was to kind of depoliticize the whole proceeding and avoid a discussion of Germany's role in the genocide. Because, yeah, we kind of brought this dude here and he was kind of on our side. So we may or may not have known what was going on and didn't do anything about it anyway. So that's a whole bunch like I was just following orders, kind of.
Or they were like, we knew nothing. He was here on his own accord.
Ah, I got it. The Germans are the dude at the bakery. Yeah, it's snowing. It's not snow, you asshole. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's who the Germans were in this situation. You know, gotcha. Head in the sand.
Yeah.
So the trial was held in. Okay, so those dates that I gave you for the trial.
Yeah, the second and third.
It didn't go two full days. It went about a day and a half. The whole trial was done the first day, and then towards the end of the day, they had to go in to deliberate, and then they came back in the next day to finish deliberations and deliver everything. The defense really wanted a 3-day trial, but the judge is like, what do we need to drag this out for? It's like, the writing's on the wall. We know where this is going, you know? So at 6 o'clock, one of the 15 witnesses, that the defense called hadn't been put on the bench yet. That's kind of why they were trying to extend it out, because they called a witness. The judge is like, it's fucking 12 o'clock at night. I want to go home. You know, I haven't had any beer today, which for, you know, being German and being a judge, that's unacceptable.
It's true.
So we're going to just cut this short. The prosecution applied for the case to be heard in camera to minimize exposure, but the Foreign Office rejected the solution. So they didn't want any newspaper cameras in there. You guys can take notes and shit. We're not taking no photos.
Yeah.
Historian Carolyn Dean writes that the attempt to complete the trial quickly and positively portray Germany's actions during the war, quote, inadvertently transformed Talleyrand into a symbol of human conscience, tragically compelled to gun down a murderer for want of justice. So they're now trying to blame Germany for the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, yeah, they brought the dude in, but they didn't do the genocide this time.
No.
They were on deck for genocide.
It's true. they were bringing in the lefty.
No. They got the bat with the weighted donut on there, and they're just taking little practice swings and getting ready and really firming up the stance, trying to time pitches. Hey, man,
it's true.
Fucking where the Turks hit, like, you know, they hit like a loud out to left center. Man, fucking Adolf comes up to bat and he just knocked the shit off his cleats and put that bitch in the seats.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
don't want to give the guy any credit, but he genocided way harder than the Turks did.
I think he did.
He really, really did.
I think there's a strong possibility he has a case for genociding harder.
Yeah, man. So the trial opened with a judge asking Talleyrand many questions about the genocide, which revealed the judge's knowledge of the genocide and Turkish and German narratives. All about the whole thing kind of falling apart, because he's just like, tell me something about this.
How do you know so much about this? Yeah. Thought you knew nothing.
My name is Dave Dolph Hipster.
I read in the papers.
I got a nephew. He was in World War One. Little mustache, kind of an asshole. Yeah. You know, you meet him?
No, I did not meet him. I don't know who you're talking about.
So he asked Talleyrand to recount what he witnessed during the events. Talleyrand said that after the outbreak of war, most Armenian men were conscripted into the army. In early 1915, some Armenian community leaders were arrested and reports of their massacres reached the cities. June 1915, a general deportation order was given and armed gendarmes forced Armenians in the city to abandon their homes and leave their property behind. So that was the other thing. It's kind of goes hand in hand with genocide, is when we come for you, you leave everything here. You're not going to need it. You know, you don't even get to like carry, bring what you can carry. Just get the stepping.
True.
You know? We're going to pile your shoes up somewhere for you though.
Yep.
So as soon as they left the city, the gendarmes began to shoot the victims and loot their valuables. Talleyrand said, quote, one of the gendarmes carried off my sister, and then he just kind of stopped. That was the end of his story for that. He didn't go any further, because I have a feeling this man witnessed his sister being murdered, which he does never comes out and say it, but he kind of implies it with that.
Shitty.
He then says, quote, I would rather die now than to speak about that. This dark day again.
Don't blame him.
The judge, not one of the prosecutors, the judge keeps fucking prodding him to, you know, recall everything that he'd witnessed. He's probably just beaten off under his robe thinking about all this. So he had to go on to talk about how he witnessed the murder of his mother and his brother, and was then knocked unconscious. He woke up underneath his brother's corpse, and he never saw his sister again. So after this, Talarian said he found shelter and was he found shelter with several Kurds before escaping into Persia with other survivors.
Yeah.
And this is from here is where he would go on to join the army. So, did he justifiably so?
Yeah.
You know, you wake up under the fucking dead body of your brother. I'd want some revenge. You know, and again, he shot this asshole once, one time, just once.
It's true.
Just once.
Just once.
So Talarian was
the brain.
Talarian was asked, whom he held responsible for instigating the massacres, and about historical precedents such as the Adana massacre, which is another one that happened before this.
Uh-huh.
Only then did the judge read out the charges of premeditated murder. Then he asked Talarian straight up, he's like, are you guilty of premeditated murder? And he said, no, I killed him. I didn't plan to. Want to know why? Because he's covering the ass of everybody else in his organization. Why? Because he's a fucking bro.
He is. That's that's very much an OG move.
He ain't fucking ratting nobody.
I ain't a fucking rat.
What'd you see? I didn't see shit. What'd you say? Nothing. I didn't say shit. What'd you hear? I didn't hear shit. You know what I did? I killed him. That's what I did.
What you fucking talking about?
Who'd you talk to? I didn't talk to fucking nobody.
Don't fucking.
Of a sudden, he's Italian.
You fucking think I'm talking to somebody? Fuck, I'm talking to myself, okay?
fuck. So he explained, I do not consider myself guilty because my conscience was clear. I have killed a man, but I am not a murderer. Talarian denied having a plan to kill Talat, but said that 2 weeks before the killing, he had a vision. Quote, the images from the massacre came in front of my eyes again and again. I saw the corpse of my mother. This corpse stood up and came to me and said, you saw that Talat is here and you are totally indifferent. You are no longer my son. So his mother's ghost, allegedly, was like, you need to kill him or I'm going to disown you. I don't know if there's any, like, Armenian folklore about talking ghosts and being excommunicated from beyond the grave, but if so, he's avoiding a curse. I mean, this sounds like some gypsy curse shit, and he's like, I haven't.
I think there is.
At this point, he said, quote, I suddenly woke up and decided to kill Talat.
I was like, hey, I want to get into heaven and be on my mama's good side.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
After further questioning, he denied knowing that Talat was in Berlin and reiterated that he had no plan to kill the Ottoman official. And the judge kind of intervenes here and stops the prosecutor from asking any more questions, saying, quote, there had been changes in his resolve. The testimony was false, obviously. Talarian was actually, again, part of the ARF. He fought with the Russian army. So what I'm trying to say here is that entire story about watching his mother die and waking up under the corpse of his brother. None of that happened.
Are you trying to tell me?
He made all that shit up on the stand. Whatever. He lied to God because he had to put his hand on a Bible and say, yeah, sure. Because at the time of all of this, he was technically in the Russian army fighting Turks. So, I mean, whatever.
As they say, it is what it
is. Historian Rolf Hausted said Talarian, quote, was extremely well-groomed, and his testimony was highly believable. Another historian states that while this was false, Talarian, quote, his testimony featured, quote, extremely typical and essential elements of the collective fate of his compatriots. So he probably had this probably did happen. Somebody probably did witness their mother being killed and waking up under the dead body of their brother. And then they told him about it. And he went, I'm going to stick that in my pocket in case I ever need to use it. Because, like, maybe I got to kill a guy and get out of it. Or maybe I'm trying to pick up chicks, you know, and I'm going to get some, you know, some sympathy sex, you know. I watched my mother die, like a handjob would be kind of rad, you know.
Yeah. It was so traumatizing.
And she's like, "Oh, poor guy.
Oh, all right,
you know, take your pants off." He's like, "Fuck yeah, I got it.
We'll do the sex."
The prosecution did not challenge the veracity of his testimony, and the truth was not uncovered until decades later. During the trial, Talarian was never asked if he belonged to the Armenian Revolutionary Front. Or if he committed the assassination as part of a conspiracy, anything like that. Mm. Had the court known that the assassination was part of all of this and it was a premeditated assassination, he probably would have gone to jail. Just, you know, premeditated murder is still premeditated murder.
Yeah, you know? But still, he killed a guy that killed, you know, his whole family pretty much, and was the cause of killing his whole family, and come on.
But if you strangled Hitler to death, you still technically killed a man. And you should be, you know, you could be...
You did the world a favor.
Okay, yeah, fair. What about, there was, it was out in fucking Arizona a couple years ago. Guy was driving down the highway and sees a cop getting his fucking shit kicked in on the side of the road by someone that he had pulled over, and he stops to try to help, watches the guy grab the cop's gun and try to kill him, and he got out of his car and shot him. He got charged with murder because he killed somebody, even though he did the right thing. He didn't go to jail for it, but he got a murder charge, you know?
Yeah.
So you still have to go through it.
I know.
You know? And I bet they never gave him his fucking gun back either. You know that? I bet that didn't happen.
He probably didn't.
I hope... If there is a higher power out there, I hope it was like a Kel-Tec or a High Point, so he was only out a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He didn't lose like a fucking H&K or a Glock or something.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, a Glock's $500, whatever, but still. If he had some cool shit on it, like if he had, you know, a good weapon light and an optic, I mean, that's an $800 pistol. I'd be upset if I lost my new one by doing the right thing.
I would be, too.
That's why, like, if someone breaks into my house, I just... cast fireball with a 1,000 lumen fucking flashlight and stomp their head in until the police get here. I didn't
fireball,
shoot
them. Fireball.
Lightning bolt. His fucking retinas are laying on the floor behind him.
Sir, you burned out his retinas. Yeah. Good. I couldn't shoot him.
I could have shot him. I didn't. I showed restraint. Yes. So I think you guys owe me a steak dinner.
There's a plus side to this.
Two expert witnesses were heard on the veracity of the previous testimony, which the prosecutor also agreed to hear. Lepsis testified that the deportation was ordered by the Young Turks Committee, obviously, which was headed up by Talat. Lepsis also quoted from an original document from Talat regarding Armenian deportations, and it said, quote, "The destination of the deportation is nothingness. So take that as you will. Where are you going? You ain't going fucking nowhere. We're sending you to nowhere."
Yeah.
Yeah. That was from that was all printed in a German newspaper, which I'm not even going to try to fucking pronounce that. It gave details about how all of this was carried out in practice, and it was all very well written out and planned out on their part. He also noted that despite the official excuse of, quote, preventative measures, authoritative figures openly admitted in private that this was about trying to ethnically cleanse the Armenian people. Mm. So German general Otto Lehmann. Oh, sorry. Should have finished that. Otto Lehmann von Saunders acknowledged that the cup, which was the Turkish government that Dickhead was in charge of, ordered the Armenian deportations, but also offered excuses and justifications for the deportation, claiming it occurred because of military necessity and the advice of, quote, high-ranking military authorities. Yeah, like the fucking guy that put the whole plan into practice. He's technically the president, which would make him the commander in chief of high ranking military forces.
Yes, very much Tadur. So.
So unlike other witnesses, fucking Otto here, said he did not know if Talat was personally responsible for the genocide. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, fucking, you know, Himmler, he didn't know anything about what was going on either.
Nah.
You know?
Nah, he didn't know shit.
Yeah.
He was just in charge of the fucking secret order and sucking Adolf's dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Then you have, you know, Rommel, who was suicided, but he also wasn't really as good of a general as we like to make him out to be. The Germans, like, put him up on the British put him up on a pedestal because they sucked at what they were doing. And they're like, man, this guy must be really good. He's kicking our asses because, you know, maybe we suck at this, but who knows? Closing arguments are delivered, and the judge asked Talarian if he had anything to add, and he said, no, I have nothing. Jury deliberated for 1 hour before answering the question of whether Sogomon Talarian was guilty of deliberately killing Talat. And they gave a one-word answer.
Nope.
No. A unanimous verdict.
Oh, unanimous.
Left no possibility of appeal by the prosecution. I mean, what are you going to appeal to, have him not get fucking killed already? We would like to appeal and have him resurrected.
Yes.
Bring us your finest German witch doctor. Some fucking German dude, like, dressed like a Viking, and he's in there, like, face painted up, sacrificing chickens on the floor, throwing their bones to see what the runes say.
It says that...
It looks like I cannot bring him back.
Nope, can't do it.
But I can bring you another man to genocide.
Uh-huh. Very much so.
God damn it. He will also have a mustache. Fuck! I knew it.
Motherfucker.
So the audience burst into applause. The state treasury bore the cost of the proceedings, which was 306,484 marks, which is like the entire fucking GDP of Germany at the time. One of the prosecutors, when he was asked later, said the acquittal was based on temporary insanity. He notes that the defense focused more on that, more on the political rather than the medical aspect of the act. It's a fancy way to say, hey, I lost, but I wish I hadn't lost, because I would have liked to have, you know, won, I guess, even though what the fuck do you win at that point in time? You want a cookie? Good job. You defended an asshole. You know?
It's true.
It's like the fucking attorneys that they had to scrape out of the bottom of the barrel somewhere to defend the fucking 9/11 guys. You're like, how do you as an American be like, okay, fine. You just go in and fucking throw it. Like, you're betting on shit and you're like, just wording stuff wrong, got evidence jammed up your ass. I see none of this stuff.
I mean, I mean.
You buy the other attorney a beer afterwards and shake his hand.
My guys are dicks.
So following his acquittal, Talarian was deported from Germany. Go on, get you fucking rascal. We don't want you here anymore.
Get out of here, you you fucker.
He went to Manchester with another member of Operation Nemesis, a man by the name of Balkanian, and then to the United States under the false name Saro Malenkin.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The editorial board of the Heronic honored him. I don't know what the fuck that is. He continued to be, so he'd been kind of sick through this whole thing. Like, I don't know exactly what it was, but he had been sick for a while, on and off. Mostly like a stress disorder from what I could find. See, he probably had some fucking anxiety issues, as you would, after you watched your entire country get murdered and then you have to kill a man.
Well, I mean, he also has...
Epilepsy.
Yeah.
So he's going through a bunch of medical stuff. He settles down in Belgrade for a while. 1950 is where, right around where he leaves there. Transcripts of his trial, which were purchased by many Armenians around the world, were sold to recoup the cost of his defense and raise money for Operation Nemesis to continue. Man, and then it goes downhill. Because after that, he moves to Cleveland, Ohio.
Oof.
Just when you thought it couldn't be worse, you survived a genocide to move to fucking Cleveland.
Oh, my. Oh, Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, but guess
where
what?
Where the river catches on fire? Ugh. Yeah, dude, the river that runs through Cleveland, it's caught on fire more than once.
Yeah, but that's where Klinger was from.
Yeah. He was from Toledo, asshole.
True, Toledo.
Danny Green was in Cleveland.
That's true.
Actually around the same time. So he then moves back to Europe, goes to Marseille and then Yugoslavia. While he's in Yugoslavia, he meets a woman named, Anahit Tatakian.
Really?
She was from the next city over from him where he grew up. And they'd actually met before. They had met in 1917 when she was 15.
Hmm.
Which would have made him like 18 or 19. So it's like, it's creepy, but it's not like that creepy. Because now they're grown adults and shit. I highly doubt they fucked back then.
Wait, how old was he?
She was 15 when they met in 1917, and which would have made her born in 1902.
And he was
how old? Born in 18. Holy Christ, I got to go way back up here. Oops. Boy. Golly, I fucking lost it here. He was born in 1896. So she was born in 1902. So it's like 5 years difference.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't talk. My wife's fucking 7 years younger than me. So, and if that's a creepy age difference, then yeah, I guess, whatever. So during his time in...
My older brother and my sister-in-law, there's like almost 20-year difference.
Yeah. So during his time in Serbia, he was a member of the shooting club and was considered a very skilled marksman. I mean, he's a World War I veteran. You kind of had to be a good shot back then because there were bolt-action rifles with iron fucking sights.
Yeah.
You know. The couple then moved back to Belgrade. They lived there until later in 1950. Then they moved to Casablanca, then to Paris, then finally to San Francisco, where he worked as a postal clerk. He lived under his new name, and then he would eventually pass away about 10 years later in 1960 from a cerebral hemorrhage. Mm. And he is buried at the Ararat Cemetery in Fresno, California. This is the same cemetery where his former commander, Andronic, was buried initially. But being a hero of the Armenian people, his family was like, we need to have him disinterred. We'd like to have him buried in Armenia because there's like a fucking actual veteran cemetery here now for him. And they're like, yeah, cool. The city of Fresno was like, yeah, sure, we can do that for you.
Yeah.
Then they have him shipped back over to Europe. And he ends up being buried in Paris. Andronic, not our guy here.
Okay.
He's buried in Paris because as soon as he hit Europe, the fucking Soviets decided that they are not going to allow him to be laid to rest in his own country because they now control Armenia. And also, fuck you, because we're the Soviets and we suck. Talarian's monument, it's an obelisk with a gold-plated eagle. Eating a snake at the top of it, which is pretty fucking rad. It's reported that the original artist of the monument was quoted as saying that the eagle was, quote, the arm of justice and the Armenian people extended their wrath onto Talat Pasha, who was symbolized by the snake. The monument itself is centered in the middle of the cemetery with a walkway made of red brick surrounded by cypress trees. So if there was two people that deserved to be like the fucking mainstays of this cemetery, only one of them stayed there. The other one got completely hosed by the Soviets.
Yeah.
But that is a very long story of a man that deserved exactly what he got and the man that got to dish it out.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah. Dude, this would have been like if fucking Eli Weissel had gotten the chance to assassinate Hitler years later. Right?
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Man, if you guys have not read the book Night that he wrote, find somewhere comfortable, read it, and cry, because you will. That is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Jesus. It amazes me what we are capable of doing to each other for no fucking reason.
Other than, you know, just because we're fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, yeah.
People think we got it bad now. No. Look back a little over a fucking 100 years into history and you'll see however many fucking millions of people killed for no reason. We didn't even touch on the guys that died during World War I because some asshole got killed in his car. Fucking hundreds of, like, maybe not hundreds of millions, but kids, children, literal fucking children died in the trenches of World War I because some asshole got killed in his car by a teenager. I mean, so, yeah, you have to pay a little bit extra for fucking oat milk and your Starbucks bullshit, but you don't have it that bad. Grow up.
Yeah.
You know, get off fucking TikTok. Go outside for a couple minutes.
Yep.
I'm not talking to you guys directly because, you know, you guys get it. You're smarter than that. But a lot of people aren't, unfortunately. But yeah, that's Soghomon Talaryan, a hero of the Armenian people who's buried in the city that I almost went to college to play baseball for. So. Yeah. Nice. I got told by a guy that I had a call with, did a video call, like, early days of Skype with a baseball scout in Fresno. And he's like, don't take this the wrong way, but you will not work here. But why? He goes, have you looked at yourself? I'm like, yeah. Big fucking doughy white boy. Like, Fresno's probably not the place for me, but whatever. Got gang members barking at each other and shit out there.
Don't worry about it.
Fresno Bulldogs. Yeah. They will fuck you up. I watched an episode of Gangland about them.
True. True, but, true, true.
Yeah. That and I don't look good in red. That's what their uniforms are for the baseball team. All red with, like, blue stripes and shit. Gay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So, with that said.
So, just keep that in mind. Back then, I had enough forethought to go, I don't want to go to college. I've got people to entertain with a podcast in 20-ish years.
Yeah.
You know? I did this for you guys.
Oh, you're so nice.
I made the ultimate sacrifice of not going into student loan debt.
You're the man.
What can I say? I'm pretty humble and shit, but you know, you're welcome.
Yeah. Wow. So if you want to hear, whew, you know, an extra episode of the podcast or, you know, per week, head on over to Patreon and become a patron. $5 a month. Get you an extra episode each week of this bullshit. And sometimes we cover some pretty good topics on there. And then also you can go over to another place called Studio. Go check them out. They got headphones. I mean, not headphones, but earbuds, Bluetooth speakers. Find what you want. Put it in your basket. Put the promo code of DarkWindows15 in to get 15% off your entire purchase at checkout. You can find us on Facebook, Dark Windows Podcast, Instagram, Dark Windows Pod. You know, kind of like we just post up the episodes up.
Don't forget, you're probably going to miss it by now, but March 1st, deadline for your brackets. Send them to either one of us. I've got one so far. So...
okay.
You might be getting a t-shirt, Damon, because you're the only one that I've seen send one in so far.
Well,
so.
Maybe we're going to have to put a post out, you know, on Facebook.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
Tonight.
Yeah. One of us is sitting here not doing anything, so.
It's you right now.
I got an iPhone 14.
It's a 15?
Jerk yourself off about it.
All right.
Well, I've got a Google Pixel that barely works because I had to have it replaced under warranty, and they sent me a piece of shit that was worse than the one that I had with the broken screen. So,
okay, fine, you like that.
Anyway, all right. So just because you can't see out into the dark doesn't mean the dark can't see into you. Bye bye.